كان الله على كل شيء رقيبا صدق الله العظيم. Last week we talked about Ubudiyya, which is the main purpose of our existence in this world, that is to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This stage, this maqam of Ubudiyya, we can never attain it until we don't understand the very first step that we have to take in the path of tasawwuf, the path of suluk, which is ihsan. We call it ihsan. The ayah that we have quoted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the Quran, verily Allah is watchful on everything. Allah is watching everything. But as long as we do not have the reality of this in us, it will be difficult to become a banda of Allah. This is well understood in a hadith, very famous hadith, which is known as Ummul Hadith. Ummul Hadith, the mother of all the ahadith of Rasulullah. It is also known as the Hadith of Jibreel. If a person has understood this hadith, he has understood Sharia. The haqqiqat of this hadith. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so reported in Bukhari as well, was sitting and a traveler came. In those days, it was very difficult to see a traveler very smart. In those days, we are talking 1400 years ago. And his hair was very black, very nice hair. And in those days, to have this type of hair was very difficult. A person to travel in desert, he came and he put his feet with the feet of Rasulullah. And he said, "Hey Muhammad, inform me what is Islam, what is Iman." Ajeeb question. Really an ajeeb question. Sahaba was sitting there. Suddenly a foreigner came in Medina and put his feet on Rasulullah. Say, "Hey Muhammad, tell me what is Iman." Something that Rasulullah has been teaching for 13 years in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And how many years have been teaching that in Medina Munawwara? Rasulullah said, "Iman is to believe in Allah, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi," what we read every day, his angels, wa kutubihi, in his books, wa rusulihi, and his prophet, and on taqdeer, on destiny, the sweetness of destiny, and the bitterness of destiny also here. Yeah. See, Rasulullah suddenly told him, "You have said the truth." Sahaba was shocked. How come a person come and tell the Prophet of Allah, "You have said the truth"? Who is more knowledgeable than Rasul? Just visualize what is happening in Medina. What hangama is taking place in Medina. A foreigner coming and asking Rasulullah and telling, "You have said the truth." Iman. Very important to understand this hadith. This is Ummul Hadith, the Muhaddithun says, this is the mother of all hadith. Just like Makkah al-Mukarramah is Ummul Qura, Makkah is known as Ummul Qura, the mother of all the cities. Quran is known as Ummul Kutub, the mother of all the kitab, the revealed kitab. This hadith is known as Ummul Hadith. It's the gist of the science of hadith is in this. Ajeeb hadith. No shuruhat on this hadith as well. He asked a second question to Rasulullah. "Oh Muhammad, tell me what is Islam." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Islam is, you perform your daily salah, you give your zakat, you fast in Ramadan, and you go for hajj to the house of Allah." So Muhammad, you have said the truth. Sahaba was shocked again. Then he said, "Muhammad, tell me now what is Ihsan." Allah. If you have understood this hadith, you will understand which those sitting in this majlis will understand where we're going, inshallah. Where are we going with this majlis that we are having? Iman, Islam, and Ihsan. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Antara tara Allah aziz ka'annaka Allah, as if you are seeing Allah." فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ, if you cannot have the capacity to see Allah, verily Allah sees you. This is a maqam, this is the first stage. And the iman that we're claiming we have, the salah that we are saying we are having, as long as we haven't understood ihsan, all those things will be bekar. Imam Rasulullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, this is the very first stage in tasawwuf. Once I remember when I wrote to Maulana Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, I'm talking the 1970s, 80s, about my spiritual disease that I have. Maulana said that to me, he said, your first step, do ihsan. This is your misfaq for you. As long as a person does not have this maqam in him, that spiritual level, that Allah is watching me day in, day out. Even I don't see Allah in my salah, but Allah is watching me. When I'm talking to somebody, Allah is watching me. In other words, right now, every second of our life, we question ourselves, we keep on questioning ourselves. Every second in our life, what is the desire of Allah from us right now? Hatta ke if we go and share the bed with our wife, if this question hasn't come to us, we haven't fulfilled the right of Allah in this suffering. This is a ajeeb maqam. As long as we haven't reached that, made the first step to reach that stage that we have been telling us always, we have said that if we want to go in the path of tasawwuf, if we want to reform ourselves, there are four stages. The first stage is to acquire knowledge, ilm. The second stage is amal, to act upon it. The third stage is to make such a level of amal that it becomes a condition in us. And the fourth stage, it becomes part and parcel in our life. If unconsciously it is in us, that is what we call a maqam. A spiritual station we reach, this is the same level we must reach for sabr, for shukr, for all those good manners. This is what we must try to achieve. Ihsan is the first one we must try to get. Then we can claim we have reached the level of ubudiyah. If we think properly, we are still, all of us, most of us sitting here, we're still on the first stage, ilm. We haven't even reached the level of amal. We still have to make effort to reach the level of hal. And we are dreaming of becoming the level of maqam. To make those qualities become part and parcel of us, now we get to think, what a long way to go. The very first stage of tasawwuf, we haven't done this yet. I'm not telling you that to disturb you. I'm not telling this to upset you. I'm telling you and myself to realize how much effort we have to put. We have been sitting here for now only about 30 sessions going. How much changes have taken place in us. It's a long way still to go. Much effort we have to do. It's still to clean this heart. Once there was a king. He was favoring one of his servants. The other people will say, he was quite handsome and so on, why you favor him? The king kept quiet. So one day they went on the whole side hunting. Those days the king used to go for hunting. They passed by a mountain, a snow-capped mountain. The king looked at it and bowed down. The servants stopped galloping. Everybody said, what is galloping? Then a few hours later, he came back bringing some snow to the king. Everybody was shocked. The king asked him, how do you know I wanted this snow? He said, the look of a sultan is always with a firm intention. The look of a sultan is always with a firm intention. That is, from there's a very important lesson. What is the look of Allah, the gaze of Allah on us right now, sitting here? What is the gaze of Allah when we are eating on us? Are we going to go and fetch that snow for Allah tomorrow? What is the desire of Allah under every moment, every second of our life, to become the abd, to become a slave of Allah, until we don't have this tazah, this ihsan in us, we haven't developed the quality that Allah is watching us. Despite I don't see Allah, Allah is seeing me, we haven't reached far in the soul. This is the very first stage. There was a great Sahabi, Ibn Umar, radiallahu anh, the son of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh. One day he was passing in the jungle, he saw a young boy. The boy was a shepherd. He told him, "Why don't you sell me one sheep?" The boy says, "No, I got my master." He told him, "But tell your master that the wolf snatched one of them." He said, "What about Allah? What about Allah?" Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu's magaj was going. He was testing the boy. He repeated, "The slave said, what about Allah? The slave said, what about Allah? The slave said," Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, like a shock in him. This quality of ihsan in this young boy was so manifest. It was easy to buy over a child, but the level he has reached in ihsan, this boy, this shepherd. This is a quality of ihsan we must try to inbuilt in us. Ulama Kiram says there are two qualities. If we don't develop in us, it's difficult to reach into soul. One is the quality of taqwa, and one is the quality of ihsan. When a person develops those two qualities, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take him to the next stage of haqiqat, and from there he reaches the stage of ma'rifah. First, a person, we learn sharia. You learn sharia, we must read our namaz and so on. But then with the yaraz, okay, sharia is zahir, what about the batin? What about the inside of us? Then we want to purify ourselves. Then we take the suluk, we take the tariqat. When we take the tariqat under the guidance of a spiritual mentor, then he will tell us how to clean our heart, what zikr to make, how to come close to Allah, and how to get rid of all those bad manners, those internal diseases that we have. Then when we reach that level, we develop taqwa in us and all those good qualities, then we reach haqiqat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened reality to us. As I've been explaining to you many times, the reality of Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What is in the realm of Allah, in the kingdom of Allah, what is happening, Allah knows best. When we got the haqiqat of this life, what it is, about the akhirat, about jannah, about dozakh, about the malaika, and all those haqiqat comes into us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us the gift of marifat. Then we come connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we go, the sky is the limit. The sky becomes the limit. We keep on echeloning, we keep on going up and up and up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ajeeb. I'm going to give you a waqiyah later on about Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, inshallah. So what is important is to understand what is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this muraqabah. That what Allah wants with us, that moment in time, every step we open our door. One beautiful thing I've seen with the Egyptians, even when they put their car on, they say Bismillah. Every small thing, I remember those days I had my shop, and they were going to buy material in my shop. And they come in, they say Bismillah. Everything is a Bismillah. Ajib good akhlaq they got for the Egyptians. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the hadith to this effect, any work that starts with Bismillah, Allah will make you finish this work. Have we bring the quality of Bismillah? Have you reached the maqam of Bismillah on our tongue? We eat, you say Bismillah. We wake up in the morning, we take the name of Allah. We put our car on, we say Bismillah. We come in the masjid with Bismillah. We go out with Bismillah. We smile. All our work with Bismillah. Have we reached? This also is a maqam. This also is a spiritual station, that the name of Allah is in us, day in, day out. It makes chakkar in our mind. Who is Allah? Allah is with us. What Allah wants from us? Now this is a muraqabah that we have to make. That how can Allah be in us, day in, day out? How can Allah be with us? This is the constant remembrance of Allah be with us. This is a maqam of its own. This is a spiritual station, the very first spiritual station that we must try to reach. Halat will come on our heart. Like one of Magda Sahib, Dhamma Barakatum, gave me a beautiful example and I didn't mention it to you. Our heart keeps on changing. This is why we call it qalb in Arabic, means something that keeps on changing. At times we did namaz, thought will keep on coming. But our heart is like the shore. I've been giving this example. The waves will come and go. Don't worry about the waves. It will come and go, it come and go. Don't worry about it. Concentrate on the heart, concentrate on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we build our ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just like if I look at this. By looking at this cassette here, I'm hearing this fan on top, I'm seeing this brother shaking, I'm seeing this brother doing this one and that brother doing that, isn't it? But my tawajjuh is on that. This is what is ihsan also. Thought will come in our mind. You can't avoid thought. It will keep on coming. But our tawajjuh must be on Allah. And that's the point here. You cannot, nobody will agree that level that 100% with Allah. Because Allah created us with nafs. Allah created us with all type of tests. Our mind will deviate sooner or later. Our heart, we are human being by the end of the day, will jump up for something. We have desires in us. But our tawajjuh must be on Allah. So this is what ihsan is all about. Be conscious that Allah is watching us. And this, we haven't reached that level yet. We've got a long way to go still. We've got a long way to go still. Our namaz, when we did our namaz, we know what type of namaz we're reading. Our tilawat, we know what type of tilawat we need. When we talk with our wife at home, we know what type of language we're using at home. When we talk to our children, we know what type of language we're using. When we are at work, we know how much khiyanat we make at work. At times we use the phone of the boss. Is it jayz? If a person has the istihzar of Allah, if a person has the ihsan, he would have not done that. Turn up on this hadith. First is iman, then Islam, and then ihsan. Ajib hadith. To reach that level, ulama kiram has given us one training to do. To bring this haqiqat in us, what who we are, who is Allah, where is our destination, where are we going? Another beautiful example ulama has given is, there was a sheikh, once his tawajjuh was one of his murid, one of his disciples. So, why your tawajjuh is on this disciple always? He gave us some birds, he says, oh, go and slaughter that bird, make zabah of this bird, in such a place where nobody can see you. So everybody went, and they come back, and this guy came, he never made zabah. He said, why? He said, I couldn't find any place where nobody can see me. So they are in tasawwuf. They make zikr, they're making, but they haven't realized ihsan. This disciple has realized the first step of tasawwuf is ihsan. He already realized that Allah is watching us. There is no place I can go on earth where Allah is not watching us. He already realized this maqam, we have reached that maqam. This is the very first stage. If we don't realize this, it's very difficult to progress in the path of suluk. Very difficult. This is why the ulama explained that to reach that level, one important thing that we want, spiritual training that we need, is muraqabah. Muraqabah is to ponder every night. To ponder who we are, where are we going. This is why, especially for our youth, one hadith we have to think. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith to this effect, niyamatan maghbunun fiha kathirun minan nas. As-siha wal-farah. Ajib hadith also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there are two gifts of Allah, two bounty of Allah, that most people are very neglectful about those. Most people don't pay attention to those bounties. Siha, health. And free time. Time. When we are young, our heart is beating very nicely, we don't have high blood pressure, we do not have diabetes, we do not have depression, we don't have to work, our father is looking after us, we got no worry whatsoever. We feel that we are going to remain young always. I remember when I was young, I'm still young, but I was younger, I mean. My friend was telling me, those days I was studying, and my friend was telling me, when they were 30 years old, I was about 23. They told me, when you will be 23, in the 30s, you feel your stamina diminishing. And those days I was like you, doing karate and jogging and all those stories, weightlifting like Bruce Lee and all those. You were doing all those things, you know. I said, no, I couldn't understand that. When you attain the age of 30, your stamina diminishes. You look young, but inside you feel weak. You cannot run the same speed anymore. You got 30. And then forget when you're in the 40s. Then you feel it more. When you're in the 40s. But when you're this age, you know, it's impossible, man. Because you've got this energy in us, We got this momentum in us. We got those jazba in us. We got those salt in us. We got our hormonal system is working so nice. We're eating so nice. The chips and Kentucky Fried Chicken, whatever we want to eat, we just eat. We don't feel anything. It's so difficult to believe that in 5 years' time I'm going to be weak. And in 20 years' time I'll be downhill. Now this is reality. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, because we feel we are so good, we are so strong, we don't feel that we're going to be like this, so we feel we're going to live for eternity when we are young. But these are the two things. If we don't make qadar, it's remove death from our mind. Maut. This is why ulama say that what is important to come with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring in this jazba of ihsan in us to make muraqabah of maut. Every night to think about death. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has given three stages. First, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, every day when you wake up in the morning, you must make a qasam with yourself. You must take an oath with yourself. Today I'm not going to make any guna. First condition. Second condition, today I'm going to fulfill all my faraiz, all my sunnah, all my nawafil. Third point, today I'm going to ensure I fulfill huququllah, the rights of Allah and huququl ibad. And Mawlana Abu al-Haysab rahmatullah alayhi had another condition to that. He said, after you have made that, make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I have made this intention today, fulfill this intention. This you call musharata. This exercise is called musharata, shart lagana. You put a condition on yourself every morning when you wake up that today, oh Allah, I'm not going to commit guna. Every minute of that goes about, I'll be conscious about you now. Namaz comes, we make sure that we are not running away, not doing our nafid and sunnah and talking outside masjid. No. We're going to make sure we are before everybody in masjid with our sunnah. And we are the last one to go after we have cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, accept the salah that we have made. There are so many guna, so many shortcomings in our salah. So musharata. Then, after you have made this, during the day you will find this will play in your mind. Hey, I've taken an oath with myself. I've committed myself. I make a covenant with Allah. Oh Allah, today I'm not going to make any guna. So each time during the day you will find that Allah comes to your mind. Allah will come to your mind. Allah will, it's a training. After we finish that, the next stage is muraqabah. Allah. At night, when we go at night, we start thinking about it. Muraqabah, especially muraqabah a lot. We must ponder on that. Mawlana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullah alayhi has given an ajeeb nuska. And this is why qilam is so important. Qilam is so important. Every night, we must close our eyes and think that Malik al-Maut is coming to take our ruh. And don't think of our good action, brothers. What action we have to do? Think of our bad action. And if you have got a bad action, it's not a good angel that is going to come. It's a bad angel that is going to come. Very important. It is reported of Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he prepared himself so much before he died that when Malik al-Maut was coming, he laid down with his kafan with him, ready to die. Qibla, ready to die. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, before he passed away, he made 36 khatam al-Quran in the jail. 36 khatam al-Quran. Sitting ready to meet the Rabbi. This is why it comes in a hadith, whoever is happy to meet Allah, Allah is happy to meet him. Death is such a beautiful thing. This is why it comes in the hadith. Death is a tuhfa of a mu'min. Death is a gift from Allah for a mu'min. Because it's the bridge that links you to the beloved, which is Allah, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this muraqabah, that Malik al-Maut is coming. My ruh is going. And the ruh will come from up the hulqum. Surah Waqia, Allah says, up to the hulqum, up to here, you know, you're conscious, your ruh is leaving your body. Surah Waqia mentioned this. And then you see the ruh going, this is why most people, their eyes are open. The ruh is going, you see the ruh depart. And this is why we close the eyes when a person dies. Because the body becomes cold, and then it's difficult to close the eyes, so you close the eyes. Felt pain and so on, whatever it is. Then visualize you and your company. Your children are by you, crying. Then you are being lifted, you are being put in a janaza, in your company. Then from janaza, you are going to put in the qabr. And from the qabr, the door of this world is closed upon you. The sand will be put upon you. Kiraman katibin. Munkar nakir. Will ask us three questions. Mar rabbuka, man nabiyuka mahdi. Who is your Lord, who is your Nabi, and what is your religion? If we can answer that properly, then the darwaza of Jannah will open with cool breeze coming, caressing our body up to the day of we're going to be resurrected. If it is a bad day, we could not answer, then one of the window of Jahannam will be open. This is why the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, O Allah, make my khabar one plot of Jannah, one garden of Jannah, and don't make it one pit of the pit of Jahannam. You must make this dua to Allah SWT. Then, remember we are waking up Maidan al-Hashr, Hisab Kitab. We're going to be naked, descending in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before that, all the people will be so upset, so impatient for Hisab Kitab to start. We're going to run by Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hisab Kitab will start. It will be so hot. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَرًّا يَرَىٰهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَىٰهُ Whoever did one atom weight of good will be recompensed, and one who does one atom of bad, Allah will take kisah for them. May Allah forgive us our sins. Then Allah will make fesla. We don't know whether we're going to get our hisab kitab in the right hand or the left hand. We're going to go by the mizan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to weigh our actions. And then we're going to cross Pusirat. The Pusirat, it is said, it is blacker, it's very black, thinner than the hair, sharper than the sword. How are we going to traverse that? How are we going to cross the Pusirat? One small mistake, we are in Jahannam. These are frightening things. But if you ponder on that, then we realize one thing. Oh Allah, besides you, there's nobody who can save us. This haqiqat will come in our heart, muraqabah imaut. After we make muraqabah imaut, there was one person, Ajib, a waqia came to mind. His name was Abdul Rahman al-Ni'am, Ibn al-Ni'am, rahmallah, was a great muhaddith. Once there was a person who wanted to have a meeting with the fuqaha and the muhaddithun. He wanted to ask them a question to improve himself. If you are told today that tomorrow Malik al-Maut is coming to fetch your ruh, what action are you going to do today? He was saying that to be able to prepare for death. What the best action you can do? So everybody is giving the answer. Abdul Rahman Ibn Ni'am said, you know, I've got such a timetable I've made for myself. It's so tight with Amal, I've got no chance really to change it now. I'll do the same Amal I've been doing. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, Mutu qabla an tamutu. Die before death comes. Die before death comes. There are two meanings Ulama Kiram have given to that. One is kill your nafs. With all those desires, illicit desires that come, kill it. Don't let your desires overpower you. The other one is prepare yourself for death. Prepare yourself for death. Mutu qabla an tamut. Wahasabu qabla an tuhasab. And take your own reckoning, your own account, what you have been doing before Allah will question you. This is why the ulama says this name is muraqabah imaut. So at night, when we make this muraqabah imaut, it will raise in us this ihsan, the quality of being coming close to Allah, that Allah is watching us. It will prepare us for the inevitable thing, which is death, that we can. It is reported that Harun al-Rashid was a great Khalifa during the Banu Abbasiyah. He had a lot of meetings with people. In his time, there was a great Wali of Allah who was a Majzub. Majzub means a person who is always meditating in Allah. He is not here. His mind is never with you. He talks to you, but his mind is with Allah always. He is Majzub. He has nothing to do with this world. You tell him something, he tells you yes, he goes out, he forgets you. Because his mind is with Allah. Because I'm majzoob. His name was Bahlul. So Harun al-Rashid rahimullah was a great Khalifa, great Khalifa. Gave him a stick and told him, I'm giving you this stick as a trust. If you find a greater fool than you, in other words, Harun al-Rashid will tell you, you are the greatest fool. If you find a greater fool than you, give him the stick. When Harun al-Rashid, after how many years, was on his deathbed, because he liked this majzoob person, he didn't need permission to come and see the Khalifa. The gates were open always for him. So he came to pay a visit to Harun al-Rashid. So he said, Harun al-Rashid, what's happening to you? He said, I'm preparing for a long journey. He said, for a long journey? But have you sent your guards, your soldiers, and your ammunition, and your food, and your tent? Because the Khalifa, usually when they go for hunting or whatever, they carry their whole army with them. He said, no, I never. But how come? Yeah, for the short journey, you sent so many soldiers, you sent so many tents, so many things. For such a long journey, you never sent anything. How come? Nobody's coming with you. He said, stop being a fool again. He said, I'm not a fool. I'm asking you a question. For this world, you were preparing so much for such a short journey. You were preparing for such a thing. Just like we want to go for Umrah, we go and look for our ticket, we look for our visa, we look for our foreign currency, we look for our food, we look for our ihram, we saw many things we prepare before we go. Isn't it? So he was telling him, such a long journey, where you're going to be alone, you never sent any soldiers. Harun Rashid burst into cry on his deathbed. He said, I never prepared for this journey. Then he took the stick. Give it the stick to Harun Rashid. He said, you, then Harun Rashid said, yes. I am a greater fool than you because I haven't prepared for my akhirah. This answer of this majzoob was in line with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'dahu. An intelligent person is a person who crushes his desires and prepare himself for what is waiting for him after death. That's an intelligent person in Sharia. An intelligent person is not the PhD that we have. An intelligent person is not the Prime Minister. An intelligent person is not the great ulama who doesn't prepare for Akhirat. An intelligent person, a person who crushes his desire and prepare for Akhirat, that's an intelligent person in Sharia from the call, from the Mubarak mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why we must be very careful when we pass comment on the Ahlullah. At times in our eyes we think he's mad. He's not mad. He's majzoom. He's in a hal. His contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making him behaving like this. And we look down upon him. We must be very careful. So these are halat of death that before upon us. So coming back to what Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was saying. First is musharata. We must put conditions on us in the morning to develop this quality of ihsan. Then with muraqabah, how are we going to die? After muraqabah, what is important to do is muhasabah. Allah. Now we're going to take account every second how we spend the day. Oh Allah, was my tawajjuh on you or was my tawajjuh on dunya? If we have done a good thing, if we are satisfied that we have spent a nice day, then we make shukr to Allah. Because it's only Allah who gave us tawfiq to make good action. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you make shukr, Allah says in the Quran, I'm going to increase you. This is how we're going to make progress. But if you're going to develop arrogance, oh, today I've read so many nafil nafal, today I've read so many tilawat Quran, so many I've read this, that's naked in the sight of Allah. Allah who has chosen us to do good action. But if we have done good, this is our attitude. But if you have done bad, when we make our balancing, we balance our account at night, then if it is bad what we are supposed to do, we must cry. I was telling you early on, I'm going to give you one waqiyah of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Good for thought. Whatever Allah creates, there is good in there. Once Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala fell in a very deep sleep. So the Khalifa in Damascus, but look at what type of Khalifa it was also. He fell so deep asleep that he missed his tahajjud salah. The following day, this really took him. He cried the whole day for missing two rakat tahajjud. The whole day he was depressed. Oh Allah, I missed my tahajjud. The following night, somebody came to wake him up. Hey, bhai, wake up for tahajjud. He woke up. Say, who are you? Say, I am Iblis. Say, Iblis, what are you doing here? Say, yesterday the amount you cried for missing 2 rakat tahajjud, I better wake you up. Because when you're missing your tahajjud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated you so much upon this nadamat that you had in your heart. This pain that you had in your heart for not doing tahajjud, Allah has increased your status. This is why ulama says that even in sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put khair. That if you feel this nadamat in your heart, oh Allah committed sin, Allah increased your. This is why the Quran says that these are the people, nubaddilu sayyatim hasanat. Yeah. Allah says in the Quran, these are the people for whom we have changed their guna into good action. This is also in committing sin. Allah knows why he makes sin, that people can go up spiritually as well. I'm not telling you to go make sin now. No, the main thing is a nadamat in the heart. That's tawbah. It comes in hadith. Tawbah starts with the pain in the heart. Not heart attack. Pain in that is you do something wrong. You feel bad in your heart. Oh Allah, why I did wrong? This remorse that comes in the heart, this is tawbah. Not astaghfirullah, 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 and we don't know what we are reading. Like my teacher, Mufti Mutara Sahib, always says, that the istighfar we are doing, that also demands another istighfar on that. It's so pathetic, the istighfar that we are doing. The seeking of forgiveness from Allah is so bad, our heart is not even in there, that we got to ask for istighfar for asking for istighfar. This is the halat of our istighfar. This is the nadamat, the pain that we have in our heart. This what took Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala so high, that Iblis had come to wake him up. If my question may come to your mind, how I can see Iblis in today's time? No, it comes in Bukhari also, another hadith. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala also saw Iblis. He was in charge of Baitul Mal. One day a person came and pleaded to him, my children haven't got food, give me food, this and that. So without, he was Sahaba, soft hearted, he gave him. Then he went, now you see, I gave without permission of Rasulullah from Baitul Mal, let me go and correct this with Rasulullah. So Rasulullah said, beware, he's going to come again. Second night he came, same scenario. Rasulullah said, beware, he's going to come again. The third night he got grip of me. I'm not going to, and his hands were not like our hands. Because his limbs were not like ours. Then he says, I am Iblis. But if you let me go, I'm going to give you a secret. If you read Ayatul Kursi before you sleep, I'm not going to trouble you at night. Sahaba had the secret, let him go. Oh, what idea, let him go again. Again, he went to Rasulullah. Then, Rasulullah said, Iblis, at least once, Iblis has spoken the truth. If you read Ayatul Kursi at night, he won't trouble you. So, Abu Huraira also met Iblis. This is why I quoted this, because question can come to your mind, how can you meet Iblis? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create those waqiyah sahaba kiram, who are we? Sahaba, sohbat of Rasulullah. Allah from his unseen reason, he made them met Iblis. It is possible. So this is what is important, this muhasaba. Asking ourselves, if we have done good, our day spent well, our mind has been with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have got the proper training, alhamdulillah. If we did not, we didn't do well, make tawbah with nadamat and struggle in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّا لَهُمْ سُبُلًا. Those who struggle in our path, we're going to guide them. Mona Shafri Tanwi has a beautiful, really a beautiful translation has given to this. Ashikana Tafsir. Imam Sultan says, it is an Ashikana Tafsir, a loving Tafsir. He says, he translated it. Look how Mona Shafri Tanwi has translated. Those who strive in my path, I'm going to hold their hands and guide them. Allah Akbar. I'm going to hold their hands like a baby. A baby, a toddler who starts walking, how are you going to hold his hand? Then you leave his hand, come beta, come beta. Then before he falls, you just go and stab him. Before he falls. This is how Allah will give ta'aluk with us when we make mujahada on our nafs. We are trying to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we try to fall, Allah will lift us. Ajib tafsir of Mawlana Shafri Tami, may Allah put nur in his khabar for this about tafsir. With a loving hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift us up. But the mujahada must come from us. Oh Allah, we're making effort to come near to you. But we have made one mistake. Oh Allah, while traveling in the car, my eyes make khayanat with me. I look at a foreign woman. I was not supposed to look at this woman. Oh Allah, this morning, while my wife was ironing my clothes, he didn't iron it properly. Oh Allah, I raised my voice with my wife. I should have not raised my voice with my wife. She's your banda. Oh Allah, while at work, I took the phone of the boss. I make one phone call, which was very urgent, but without the permission of my boss. I make khayanat there, Allah. Forgive me for that. You accept you are making a mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this banda wants to come near to me. His mind is day in, day out with me. And when you get ihsan, then you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ma'rifah. How we going to understand Allah? How we become the beloved of Allah? And the quality of ihsan will become a maqam in us. The quality of maqam, the quality of ihsan will become a station in us. We cannot live without Allah. We'll become divana. Like I told you last time about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are you calling me Khalil, a beloved friend? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, go, hide behind a tree. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a shepherd and take the name Allah. When he went there, hide behind a tree, he took the name Allah. By hearing the name Allah, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam became divana. Who took the name of Allah? Take my name, take the name again. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told him, what are you going to give me? He said, half of my flock. Take the name of Allah again. He took the name of Allah again. He said, please take the name again. He said, what are you going to give me? Take the other half. Take the name of Allah. Take the name of Allah again. He said, what are you going to give me? He said, okay, take my life, but take the name of Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam says, this is a deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to hear the name of Allah, what level of love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we read the quality of ihsan, then we'll understand the ahlullah who are majzoob. Then we'll understand their heart. Why they don't want to talk to you? Because they waste our time with this dunya. Why should we waste our time with people? Where Allah is here. Why we don't talk to Allah? Why we must look at the woman? We must look at Allah. Why we must talk to people? We talk to Allah. Why we must eat food? Yeah, we don't have to eat food. We eat, our food is zikr. In fact, it comes in a hadith of Rasulullah SAW. When Qiyamah is there, when Dajjal will start really, havoc will go about. Muslim will be in trouble. Muslim will live on zikr. Allah. Muslim will live on zikr. Not on food. When Qiyamah will be there. That's another level. Science can't explain this. Genetic engineering cannot explain all those things. Only the Ahlullah will understand that. How come we can live on zikr? This is the power in the name of Allah. Qiyamah will never come as long as one person on the surface of the world will read La ilaha illallah. What is the power in La ilaha illallah? We haven't understood it. This is why the Mashaykh says, the quality of ihsan, to have the istighfar of Allah in us, the quality is that 24 hours our mind is with Allah. This is the first step of tasawwuf. If we haven't understood that, we must try to understand it. And then we start making the first step. Then Allah will hold our hands to carry us in the path of tasawwuf. Like we hold the hands of our toddler to make him walk. Allah will make us walk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us walk in the path of tasawwuf. But this training is very, very important. That we understand this concept, put into practice. By end of the day, I told you, worry, I'm repeating myself. All those things what I'm saying, I'm talking for myself, not for you. Make dua that Allah gives me and the whole world hidayah to practice upon that. But the starting point is to sit in the sohbat of Allah. Very important. Very, very, very important. Especially the young ones, before you get married, if you can go and sit with Allah, go and choose who you got munasabat with. You spend at least 40 days. Ulama say, spend at least 40 days. Continue. At least. 40 days which you can spend one of Allah, you will see the benefit. Here the tawajjuh of one of Allah. You will see how this effulgent spiritual nur will come. Will come and you will have changes in your life. You will find coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very, very important. Very, very important. Those brothers in Jamaat, while shall you go? Spend some time in Nizamuddin, the greatest wali of Allah. Not ordinary people. Mawlana Dawood Sahib, I don't know whether he's still alive. In the time of Mawlana Ilyas, when I went to Jamaat, he was my Amir. He was 90 years old. Paidal, he made 5 times Makkah Medina. Paidal. Paidal, Makkah Medina. Mawlana Dawood Sahib, time of Mawlana Ilyas, Allah gave me tawfiq, I met those people. Mawlana Zubair Sahib. Great was that. great wali of Allah. Mawlana Zubair Sahib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me tawfiq to sit twice in the majlis. Not one oof. So much control on his tongue. Not one oof usually. That time Mawlana Umar Sahib was, he was like chairing the meeting in the main room. The Jamaat sort out the problems. Mawlana Zubair Sahib, he won't talk. But when I was there, was a professor from Aligarh University. Professor Khan. When you go up, you find he got his own hujja for himself, first floor. He says, for him, in his knowledge, Mawlana Zubair is the greatest alim of the time right now. Yet he doesn't talk. He doesn't speak. And when you hear the bayan of Professor Khan, your mind doesn't work. Ulama don't understand, flies over their head. One point he raised, ajib point he raised. So that also is another mahol to create Siddha Sohbat of Allah. 40 days, first with Sazajib, ask permission. Just stay in the company. Understand who we are, who is Allah. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, I mentioned last time, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءَ بَنَاهَا. And mankind, who is more difficult to be created, you or the heavens. Is that an ordinary ayat? We got all those fakhr we have in us. Oh, I got so many degrees, I'm a doctor, I'm a businessman, I got so much balance sheet, blah, 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 blah. Where is this going to take us? We are funny, we're going to die. We're going to leave all those things. Only Allah is eternal. Even Malik al-Maut will die.